Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Our number three, Follow the Money here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown and Mike Somich in for Mitch and Paul as they travel up to Omaha. So be here tomorrow and a special show on Saturday as well. The Money Moves crew also up there. So tune in, see what's going on up in Omaha. And if you happen to be in the area over at Rocco's, you can go see everything go down live and take a couple Jell-O shots with all the different people up there. You know what? Maybe they'll do it in the break, Mike. You know, I mean, like maybe they'll do it in the break, you know? Oh, look, no. Nothing, no tally yet. I guess it officially starts tomorrow or something because there's nothing up there.
Yeah, no tallies yet.
Yeah.
Do you know what the record is for the most shots taken by a team during the World Series?
12,000.
68,000 by LSU. There's a plaque in Rocco's. Mitch just tweeted it out over on his Twitter. 68,000, the record for Jell-O shots taken in a College World Series.
So here's the thing. I can tell you about the story behind that, which is like, and this is taking nothing away from LSU or anything, but so Todd Graves is the owner of Raising Cane's, right? And he went to LSU, and first Raising Cane's was in Baton Rouge. Literally, I was in college, there was one Raising Cane's, and now they're like, you know, all everywhere. He's a billionaire now with a B, and he went up there last time LSU up there, and he just bought anyone that was like anyone. Yeah. If you were in a 5 mile radius and you just wanted to come and take, he was just buying all the shots like for the entire world. And so that's where you get to that, but impressive nonetheless, you know, impressive.
Right, 68,000 at $5 a pop. Rocco's is doing good during the College World Series. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Cause what is a Jell-O shot costs 50 cents.
Maybe. I mean, there's the labor involved, probably takes a while to make them all.
Yeah.
The actual ingredients are cheap.
Okay, then let's just say, even with labor, like $1 tops. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
$1 tops.
It's good.
Yeah, 400% margin is always a good thing.
Pretty good. Guys, a reminder, if you before you head over and start making your bets, if you want to go to sharpplays.com, you can take in a look at what they've got going on over there. They've got an AI machine that is going in and looking at all these lines and seeing what they can do. And then, of course, you can get the betting reports, you get the real-time alerts, and you get the insights as well sent to you via email or on X. So Sharp Plays, trusted by pros. Check them out at sharpplays.com. We have the finals already. We did have day baseball. The Pirates 5-2 over the Marlins. And Falter, is as terrible as this Pirates team has been and how they've given no run support to basically anyone, Falter's 5-3 on the season somehow. So he catches this team when they decide to put up a five spot every now and then. We look at this Paul Skene statistics, which are just unbelievable. And it's not like Mitch Keller has been good, but he hasn't been terrible. He's 1-9 on the year, Mike. Like,
yeah.
He's got like a high threes ERA. Like if you have a high threes, low fours ERA, you win a game every now and then. He's 1-9. Like it's just, it's unfair what's happening to some of these guys.
Well, you think you could stumble into 500,
yeah,
right? With a high threes, low fours type of ERA. Not when you're a Pirates pitcher. Like Skene's has got to be begging for the run support that Fodder's getting right now, right? He'd be what, 9-1 if he was getting five a game, Matt?
Oh yeah, easy. He's got a sub-2 ERA. I mean, I guess easily he would be getting that. Phillies take care of the Cubs earlier today. Phillies move to 39-29. Cubs move to 41-27. Jesus Luzardo gets right because he was, whoo, boy, a guy.
He was wrong for a couple starts.
I can tell you one thing. While I think I might have one Cy Young ticket that's alive, my Jesus Luzardo ticket is dead. D-E-D, dead.
Yes.
And, boy, he was cruising and looked like he had figured everything out and went off the rails, but – this was a good start for him, and so maybe a sign of things to come.
Yeah, hopefully you can get it back on track for I don't think it matters for your Cy Young ticket, let's be honest. Yeah. I think that thing is dead. But he's one of those pitchers we both liked. He was in the A's organization, the Marlins organization. Now he goes to a real organization in Philadelphia, and he's always had good stuff. It's just the question of can he put it all together.
Mike, we didn't get a Lodolo start. We got one today on the weekends. Maybe we'll get him again. Let's see. It's Wednesday. Maybe we get him again on Sunday. But, yeah, you got the bad Lodolo. This is what we talk about all the time if you guys watch our show. Is like we love Lodolo starts because you just bet on the variants. 3 1/3 today for him. He gives up 6 earned against this Cleveland Guardians team. Ends up winning the game 11-2 there. In that one, Mike, Logan Allen goes 6 innings for them, only gives up 4 hits, only walks 1, and does strike out 6 along the way. let's see, two different home runs there for this Guardians team. They move to 35 and 32.
You mentioned DFS with golf last segment. He's a fun one to put in your DFS lineup and then fade to bet. Because if he goes off, he can get you a huge score in DFS for a low cost. But if he gets beat, he's going to give up a lot of runs as well. So it's one of those fun guys to bet against, but include in DFS.
We said Spencer Schwellenbach went a complete game for the Braves. Lowered his ERA to 3.11 on the season. They win 6-2 over the Brewers, but still just 29 and 38 on the season. The Blue Jays, 5 runs against the Cardinals. They moved to 38 and 30. Maybe a quiet 38 and 30 for this Blue Jays team, just because you talk so much about the Yankees. The Red Sox get all of the either love or hate. Whenever they're playing good, they get the love. They get all the hate whenever they're playing bad. Under the radar, 38 and 30 Blue Jays right now. And like I said, Mike, hitting the ball the best of any team in baseball over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, third best record in the AL now, Matt. Just 3.5 behind the Yankees. Pretty good.
Sneaking up. Just kind of sneaking up there. 5-2 winners are the Diamondbacks over the Mariners. They move to 34 and 34 on the season. The Mariners fall one game under 500. The game's in action right now. We were talking about the A's. Sears was cruising. Everything was going well. You were getting a vintage performance from J.P. Sears. He goes 5 1/3, only gives up 4 hits. He didn't walk anybody. He K'd 9. They're down 6-3. They are down 6-3.
They give him the hook.
Yeah.
Give him the hook. The reliever comes in, plunks a man, gives up a single. Then they bring another reliever in, gives up a 2-run shot. Just a disastrous job by the bullpen. That's how an under turns into an over very, very fast.
Mike, you and I are fans of analytics, and we talk about advanced statistics and probably maybe even more than we should sometimes when it comes to baseball. But if you're the A's, you overthought this. I got it. I get it. Yes. Mike Trout was coming to the plate. I understand. And Mike Trout's awesome. But you know what your bullpen is. Your bullpen is complete gutter trash. Yeah, your bullpen is the gutter trash. And you have your starter, maybe your only good starter on the whole team, actually pitching well.
Twirling.
Yeah, and missing bat. He's only at 82 pitches, so you can't, like, scream at the pitch count. He's only at 82 pitches. You overthink it, you pull him, and now you're down 6-3. Not that it matters. You're 26-43 on the season anyway, but you get my point.
Well, it's just another reason you're 26-43, right? Yeah. You have a 3-run lead, and you don't leave Sears out. You don't leave Sears out there to actually get the job done for you. And like you said, 9 Ks, no walks, and 5 1/3, and yet we're pulling them with 86 pitches.
What are we doing? What do we do sometimes? What are we doing with this sometimes? I just don't even understand. The Dodgers up 4-2 on the Padres. We wondered how Kasperius was going to do and what they were going to do with him. They let him go 4 innings. They let him throw 54 pitches. He gave up 3 hits. He walked 2. He K'd 2. And 1 earned. Maybe they're stretching him out for that rotation, Mike, or maybe this is just what we're going to get out of it. Maybe they'll just, like, let him go 4 or 5 innings, depending on the pitch count, pull him, and then go to that pretty deep bullpen that they have. Trevino's pitch, Dreyer's pitch, Yates' pitch, and Kopech is in there now.
Yeah, I think this is one where you kind of keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. If they do decide to stretch him out, you see him get a couple more starts, maybe you build up the stamina, get to 6 innings. He's never going to be a guy that's going, you know, complete games, 8 innings in this day and age. But if you can get 5-6 consistently, he could be a guy to bet on. I got to say, Matt, pretty frustrating when you lay the half run in the first 5 and the Dodgers put up 3 in the 6th and then you lose your bet. But now here they are up 2 runs in the 7th inning. So frustrating beat there, but what can you do?
We do have game number 3 tonight in the NBA Finals. Oklahoma City Thunder on the road at the Indiana Pacers. Shout out to Wes Reynolds, who, by the way, flew up there to go to the game. Wes is going to the game. Yeah, Wes is taking the game.
I love it.
I can tell you what's going on right now, Mike. Somebody has decided that this game is going to go under because the screen is lighting up all over the place, and this has fallen all the way to 226 now since we have been on air just in the last half hour. The 5s that were available at the big national books have all been wiped out. It is 5.5 in favor of Oklahoma City. If you want a 5, hopefully you live in a Circa district. Circa still has the flat 5 available for Oklahoma City out there. But yeah, the big news here really is that the screen lit up all at the same time. Looks like a coordinated effort for people to take the under here.
Yeah, I played Oklahoma City -5 yesterday. I would still play them at 5.5. I think that this game 1 was an anomaly, that this OKC team is just simply better than the Pacers, and the fact that it's 1-1 going to Indianapolis, I think actually is an advantage for Oklahoma City here in game 3, because I do think you get an A-plus road effort from them. Not surprised by the under money. We talked about it last time that we discussed this game on the show. If you look at the transition defense for both these teams has been phenomenal. Even with 24 turnovers in the first game for the Pacers, we only saw 11 points off those turnovers for Oklahoma City. Only 100 points in the first half of game two, which is 120, or which was a 228.5 full game line. We did see them go over, but a lot of that was because of a massive third quarter where there were 67 points and the late game shenanigans. Not surprised the under's getting hit here. If it was underpass. I did bet the Thunder, but I did not get to the under at the good number.
Yeah, for those just tuning in, this morning 227.5. When we came on, and there were two 228s actually, I should say. Majority of the books were 227.5. That lasted all the way until we got on air, Mike. There was one rogue like 227, and now we see everybody sitting now down at 226. And so we've had a full 2-point move since this morning, 1.5 since you and I came on air here on this one.
Yeah, it's as you said, a coordinated effort. You're not going to see all of the books adjust like that unless there was some group, some syndicate that came in and decided that they wanted to get on the under pretty aggressively as well. The timing's interesting, too, this far in advance of the game. I wonder if this they just decided they didn't want to wait any longer, because generally you're going to see some of these get bet up toward game time, especially a public game like this, like an NBA Finals game.
Guys, if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or just the thrill of calling your shot, check out XCUTA. That is the letter XCUTTA.com. Basically the future of how we play. Think of like combining live auction with the strategy of sports betting. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. So go in, create a mini sportsbook with your crew. It's addictively fun. Here's the hookup email, support@xcuta.com. Mention VEASAN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. That is xcuta.com.
This is Follow the Money on VEASAN.
Follow the Money here on VEASAN, Matt Brown and Mike Sumich here on the desk for Mitch and Paul. They'll be back tomorrow, don't worry. Heading up to Omaha, checking out all the Jello shots, checking out the College World Series. So stop by, say hello. We were talking about that A's and Angels game. I'm a loser on the strikeout prop for Kyle Hendricks. He does get 6 innings. I mean, look, that's what I was going for anyway, right? I wanted 6 innings out of him. I got the 6 innings. I just didn't get the strikeouts. So losing handicap for me there on that one. They pull him, though, in the reliever. It's kind of like we said with the A's. Promptly walks a guy, then gives up a 2-run shot. And so now it's 6-5 in favor of the Angels. Bad team's going to be bad.
Yeah, a game that was 3-0 through 5.5 innings, and now all of a sudden we're 6-5, and we're sitting here in the – top of the 7th. Yes. So it didn't take very long for these bullpens to start giving up.
Alt overs have all hit now. So good for you. Anyone with the yes. Any of you with the alt overs feeling good there about that one? Rooker has hit 2 homers in this game for the A's. So if you were playing an early DFS slate, hopefully you had him a part of all of that. Joe Adele with a home run for the Angels side of things. Again, 6-5 right now, top of the 7th. If you want to get going over there, bottom of the 7th, though, and I think we're still going here in this one. It looks like we're bases loaded for the Padres, Mike.
Yes, sir. Bases loaded right now. Bottom 7, 1 out. Looks like we're going to have a new pitcher come in as the Padres loaded up the bases and trying to tie this game or take the lead in the bottom of the inning.
How do you think they loaded up the bases?
I'm guessing a relief pitcher walks some people.
Michael Kopech walked 3 guys in a row. So there you go. So
Michael, hey, shocker.
Yeah, so
it's
there you go.
It's a relief pitcher walking people.
Walked
sure,
the
that won't
loaded.
Come back to bite him,
Matt. Yeah, walked the bases loaded. So the bottom of the 7th, bases loaded for the Padres without having to do anything. Just sit there and watch the pitches go by him.
Bat on the shoulder. No reason to swing.
We went final again in a bunch of games earlier. We'll get to those a little bit later in next segment. Matt Youmans going to join us. Of course, we'll get his U.S. Open thoughts, anything that he's got going for the NBA as well. But, Mike, we do have additional games that are going to be going here a little bit later. The Yankees and the Royals, Clark Schmidt and Chris Bubich. Bubich has actually been good for this Royals team. It's just the Yankees are coming to town and the Yankees smash. And so it's kind of like you just got to figure out what direction you want to go here with this one. Do they just continue to mash, or do you think that Bubich is kind of the cure for what they've been doing? I don't have a play in this one. I think this game's fairly coin toss-ish considering what we've got so far from Bubic, which is, you know, a 27% K rate, a sub 8% walk rate, and you get the expecteds, while are certainly worse than his 1.43 ERA. No one has a 1.43 ERA when it comes to the expecteds, but, you know, I mean, 3.27, right? 3.35 CR, 2.81 yep. xERA. So Bubic has actually been legitimately good.
Yeah, all the underlying numbers are good. It's inconceivable to keep that type of ERA, right? Yeah. But all the underlying numbers do support that he's pitching very, very well. And interesting, with Schmidt on the hill for the Yankees, his underlying number is actually significantly better than what you're seeing right now. His current ERA is sitting at 4.04, his expected ERA at 3.07. So he's pitching better than what his current numbers list there, too. I use Goldschmidt for an RBI as my single, and when we bet the cycle, if I wanted to take a shot, I'd be playing Goldschmidt RBI, maybe a Judge home run, something like that. But to me, this game is fairly priced. I think the Yankees should be a slight favorite. They've got a better lineup, and I do think this is a pretty much apples-to-apples style of pitching matchup here. So I do think that this game is one of those that, yeah, minus 126 the Yankees, plus 113 coming back for the Royals, right around where it should be.
This is, the only other deal is we are seeing a decent amount of money come in on the over. The over 8.5 sitting now up to minus 123 there. On that one, I think people are just banking on the Yankees being able to get to Bubic. I think if anything, Mike, if this thing got up to a flat 9, I'd be tempted on coming in the under, because I think people just see the Yankees and they just go, oh, okay, Yankees, and not really looking. And Chris Bubic not being a household name either, right? I don't think people realize how good he has been this year.
Well, and you look at Bubic and you assume there's regression, right? I mean, like, there's no way he's keeping that 1x ERA. So you feel like there's going to be some type of regression at some point that floats that ERA up. But you go back to the underlying numbers, they're very good.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's one of those spots where I'd rather take the first 5 under if this thing really does go up, because then I don't have to deal with the Kansas City bullpen. I don't have to deal with the Yankees bullpen. I'm just getting 2 starters who I think – have been pitching very, very well. And so if I was going to play anything on the total, it'd be first 5 under, especially if I get a flat 5. If we get to a 9, you may see some flat 5s in the market. That's where I would look if I was going to play that game.
Texas Rangers on the road at the Minnesota Twins. This is Jack Leiter and David Festa. Minus 150 for the Twins at home as favorites, plus 123 for the Rangers on the road as dogs. And we're seeing an 8.5 out there in the market. This one actually shaded towards the under. You kind of look, and we're talking about these non-household names, right? I think Festa certainly fits in that one as well, Mike. But Festa, another guy that has been pretty good on the year.
He has been pretty good. And I'm going to bet this game in a kind of unique way. Don't bet this prop a ton, but I'm going to look at Festa under 1.5 walks in this game. He started 4 games. He's thrown no more than 84 pitches, which I actually like if I'm going for an under walk guy, because I don't think he's going to go very deep. The deepest he's gone in a game is 4 2/3 innings. If you look at his last 2 results, he gave up 2 walks to the Athletics and 3 to the Chicago White Sox. Why is that actually a positive when those are 2 bad lineups? Well, the White Sox have the second most walks earned against righties this year in the Major League Baseball. The Athletics are 4th most walks earned against righties in Major League Baseball. So 2 top 5 teams taking walks that he faced the last 2 games. The 2 games prior to that, gave up just 1 walk in each of those. Guess what, Matt? Twins take the 3rd least walks against righties in Major League Baseball. So we're going from and I know it's weird to say this, you're going from those elite walking teams, the White Sox and the Athletics, to one of the worst walking teams here in the Minnesota Twins. So I'll take Festa under 1.5 walks. He probably doesn't go more than 4 tonight. And if that's the case, I think he's still able to stay under this total.
Yeah, I mean, I think another couple of things working for you there. 12% swinging strike rate, 28% K rate. So he should be able to miss some bats, and then the BABIP against for him is 357. Like, he is running on the worst side of variance, like, when it comes to all that. And so maybe some of those hits come down as well, and he faces fewer, you know. So there's all kinds of things here, I think, that could be working in your favor there with that one. Another guy that very rarely do we always talk about, like, regression almost in the negative sense, but he is a positive regression candidate at least, a 5.4 ERA with, like, the kind of, like, 3.9, 3.58-ish advanced stuff and expectance. So I think that he could be in for a little bit of better stuff for him. White Sox and the Astros, Sean Burke and Ryan Gusto. If you want to play this one, this is sitting minus 181 Astros at home, plus 148 Sox on the road as dogs, a flat 8 shaded towards the over.
Yeah, I again want to look at a team total here. I talked about the Astros during the Bet the Cycle segment, taking their team total adjusted over 5.5. The bet I like in this game more, not as big a plus money here, but is Astros team total first five. That you can get a plus 110 out there. I mentioned Sean Burke during that segment. He's really struggled this year. He's got a 4 ERA, but his expected ERA is 5.31. If you look at his expecting batting average, expecting slugging, and expecting WOBA, all of those are significantly higher than what he currently has, and he's still not very good. Astros lineup that should be able to hit well in their home stadium tonight. Give me over 2.5 team total for the Astros first five here, Matt. I think they get the Burke early.
Yeah, I actually kind of like just the over in the game as well, especially considering that we're looking at this thing at the flat eight. For me, I think people look at this and the White Sox are bad. White Sox have been bad. You don't want to bet on an over when White Sox, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like, I think the Astros can do a pretty decent amount of damage on this White Sox team. And then Gusto certainly is nothing that I am like have been blown away with. I've actually paid attention to his last couple of starts, and I don't think his stuff is very good. So I think the White Sox actually could have a little bit of success against him as well. So it would only be an over for me. We also have the Giants and the Rockies. We've talked a lot about this one as far as the Rockies and what we think of this team. Kyle Freeland going for them. Robbie Ray going for the Giants. They're big old minus 201 road favorites. Plus 163 if you like the Rockies at home. 10.5 the total.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the Giants minus 1.5, minus 137 in this spot. I think this is a great spot for Ray. Yeah. And like the 1.5 isn't too punitive from a price perspective right now. This was as high as minus 141 earlier in the day. We've seen it dip back down. I talked about this ad nauseum, but the 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitters when at Colorado are absolutely raking from a RBI perspective, and you're getting plus money on all of them almost every single night. Went 2-0 last night picking two of them. I would look at the middle of the lineup here for the Rockies to record an RBI because, again, like you're getting plus money on these guys. And when you have a Rockies starters and bullpens that are just giving up 6-7 runs a game, you're going to see a lot of RBIs come from those key RBI spots just because you're going to have so many base runners on. And you parlay that with the fact that they're in Colorado, a positive hitting stadium. It's just an angle I'm going to keep playing until it burns me.
Guys, if you have not yet pulled the trigger on becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, we got a deal for you, $199. We'll get you a full year. And when you go in and you sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, we will also throw in Josh Applebaum's book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. Of course, you get all the picks emailed to you every single day. You get the betting splits page between Circa and DraftKings. You can go in, compare, and contrast. You get the video feed in the Watch app and then all of the betting guides that we do. It is definitely worth it. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code BOOK. When we come back, let's talk to Matt Youmans on all things U.S. Open, see what he thinks about the NBA tonight as well.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It is Follow the Money here on a Wednesday. Sirius Channel 158. Matt Brown and Mike Somich in for Mitch and Paul as they're up in Omaha. They'll be back in here the next 3 days, actually. Special show on Saturday, so be sure and tune in for that. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own Matt Youmans. Find him at Matty Youmans, Matt Youmans 247 over on the Twitter machine and right here on Primetime as well. Kind enough to join us, even though he's out enjoying this beautiful weather here in Las Vegas. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm on the seventh tee at the Las Vegas Country Club, and it's a picture-perfect day. It's like a postcard day. Not a cloud in the sky. About 107 degrees, and I think I'm out here with Jason Jarvis, who's a excellent football handicapper, one of the competitors in the Circa Friday Football Invitational. I think we're the only two players who teed off after noon today, so we pretty much have the course to ourselves.
Matt, that's what I love about when it gets 100 degrees in Vegas. People look at me like I'm crazy, but I think you appreciate it as well as I do, which is nobody wants to go out there after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I can blast through a round in a couple of hours. It is beautiful for me. Give me 105 every day. I'm down with it, buddy.
It is. I always say it's the best time of the year to play because nobody else is on the course and you got it to yourself. So it's, I always try to play. I wait till it gets over 100 to play in the summer. I like it even a little hotter, 110, 115, 120, but today's okay. Today's okay.
So let's get into your thoughts here on the U.S. Open. And we were talking before we came on. I think this is a good place to start. all we see is how terrible this course is going to be, how hard this course is going to be, the rough and the greens and all the stuff that we've heard. But Matt, do you think that maybe we're being a little too crazy about this, that maybe the scoring conditions could be a little bit better than we're talking about?
I do. You guys, I suspect that you're going to see the next 2 days, a couple guys go out and shoot, 65, 67. There's going to be some low scores out there. And a lot of people will say, well, what about this Oakmont monster that was supposed to scare the hell out of everybody? And I do think the rough is incredibly thick. You've seen, I've been watching Golf Channel for the last 3 days, and there's so many pros who are having trouble getting out of the rough. The greens are extremely fast. It's almost like putting on ice, it looks like, at times. I do think this course is going to favor longer hitters. You got to be better. You got to be really sharp with your short irons, and you have to be a good scrambler. And those are the three. Those are, and also I'm going to add this. I think you have to be mentally tough to survive this week, because you're going to have to overcome a lot of adversity. And that's why I'm eliminating some of the players I feel like are can't drive it straight, can't hit the fairways, might not be mentally tough enough to handle these conditions. Guys like JT, Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, guys like that are not going to be on my card this week. I think the winner, I'm going to say by the time we get to Sunday afternoon, the winner is going to be somewhere between 3, 4, 5 under par.
I'm looking forward to this one. I like the demanding golf that we're going to see. And you mentioned the mental aspect of it. To me, that's going to be a huge part of this tournament, because you are going to get bad breaks. You're going to get bad lies. You're going to get bad bounces. You're going to end up in the bunker with no shot out forward. You're going to miss a putt and end up three putting on certain holes. And it's how can you bounce back from those situations? Because everyone's going to have those bad breaks at some point during the 72 holes. It's just a question of who can really mentally handle that style of play. And it's interesting to me when I look at the top of the odds board here. You've got Scottie Scheffler sitting there plus 275, DeChambeau at 750, Rahm and McIlroy both around 12-1. The expected win equity, almost 60% of the time, one of those four is supposed to win. Is it really that simple? Is it open and shut on the top four? Don't look at the long shots. Are you willing to look down the board this week?
I'm going to look down the board this week. I'm going to tell you, I think experience and wisdom can win this week. And that's why I'm looking at some of the older players, maybe some of the European guys who are better on some of the tougher courses. And I don't think it's just going to be the four or five elite guys. And In fact, I'm going to go into this tournament with no bets on Scottie Scheffler. So we'll see how that works out. Scheffler is typically not a fast starter in the first round. So I don't mind not having anything on Scheffler going into the first round. But there, I played some longer shots too, and some European players who I think can handle this course. And hopefully that pays off for me. I mean, that's going to be kind of my handicapping approach. I'll tell you what I played, and I'll explain a little bit of it. But I played Bryson DeChambeau, top five at plus 160. I've got a little bit on him at 8-1, but not a lot, because I just didn't really want to bet 8-1. Ludvig Åberg at 24-1. Shane Lowry at 33. I also played Lowry top five at 8-1 and a little bit more at plus 525. Cameron Young, just a shot. I know he's not going to win, but if he gets hot this week, who knows? 115-1 is a smaller play. Matt Fitzpatrick, 125, actually 135-1, and top 20 at 3-1 odds. Fitzpatrick, I'll explain a little bit here in a minute why I played him too. Let's see. I've also got top 30s on Keegan Bradley, Harris English, Maverick McNealy, and Justin Rose. And last night at Circa, I added a couple bets. Harris English at 80-1, Justin Rose at 180-1, and I bet Rose in the Masters at 125-1. And he gets in a playoff with Rory and he loses. And it seems like he's been a forgotten man since. He hasn't played great golf since. But Rose is a former U.S. Open winner. And he's a guy I think can handle this course. I was talking about experience and wisdom. That's the type of player I think could show up, at the top of the leaderboard this week, and you wouldn't be that surprised. Matt Fitzpatrick, I'll just mention him because I've never had a lot of success betting this guy. But he's 9-for-10 and made cuts at the U.S. Open. He's a 2022 winner. Shane Lowry, another European player, in 2016 at the U.S. Open at Oakmont, he was a 54-hole leader, and he had a 4-stroke lead at that point. Lowry has been knocking on the door. He just can't knock the door down. This week, I think he's got a great shot to be in contention. And Harris English, you guys, 9-for-9 and made cuts at the U.S. Open, third in 2021, second in the PGA, 12th in the Masters. These are guys I think that, once you look past Scottie Scheffler and a few of the top players, I think you can find some longer shots that are intriguing this week.
Talking to our very own Matt Eumanns, catch him here on VSiN Primetime. Matt, I share the Shane Lowry love with you. I have Shane Lowry in the account as well. Where do you stand on Rory? I think that's the big question heading into this week. He gets the career Grand Slam, has looked pretty poor since then. I'm sure he has already tried to dial in the equipment and figured out what's been going wrong with the driver and all of that. But, you know, biggest price we've seen on him in a hot minute, sitting out there kind of in that 12, 13, 14 range.
No interest in Rory. I actually mentioned on the Tuesday morning show with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, I said it wouldn't surprise me that much if Rory misses a cut this week. I know last week, and way too much has probably been made of this. I know he played a practice round at Oakmont last week. He birdied the last two holes and shot an 81. But I will say that I think Rory's lost, and the reason why I don't have much interest in him, I think he's lost a lot of motivation since he won the Masters. He completed the career Grand Slam, and that was the gorilla that was on his back for so many years, almost, you know, about a decade, Brown. And you know from watching Rory that since he's won the Masters, it just he doesn't look like he's a highly motivated guy. And even last week in Toronto, he was terrible. And you could say, well, he was looking ahead to the U.S. Open this week, and that might have been the case. I just don't think he's in the current form or the current mindset of a type of player that I want to bet on this week. It wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about Friday night, Rory missing the cut. So that's one player I did ignore this week, because even though the odds drift up around 14 or 15 to 1, I'm not going to play him.
Yeah, I was looking at Rory missed cut plus 290 this morning, just staring at it, but wasn't quite able to click the button. All the driver drama, to me, is the biggest issue with Rory on a course. It's really going to prioritize being able to keep it in the fairway and hit the ball well off the tee. We've got a couple guys that we've talked about from the LIV side, DeChambeau and Rahm. What do you make of Joaquin Niemann, who's won four times on the LIV Tour here, headed over and trying to see if he can keep that form going in the U.S. Open? Right now, 30 to 1 on the board, plus 450 to make the top five.
That's a good question. Actually, I've been a big Joaquin Niemann fan for about probably four years or so. I was at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego, and I followed him around one day, and I was very impressed by his game and his all-around game, every aspect of it. And I thought, this is an up-and-coming young star. Now, on the LIV this season, he's been unstoppable. He's been better than John Rahm or better than anyone on the LIV Tour. But if you look at his track record on majors and major tournaments, it's disturbing. I think he's got one. Matt Brown, am I correct? Did you talk about this in long shots? Does Joaquin Niemann have one top 25 in majors?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a disturbing track record in these type of tournaments, and that's why I wanted to play him this week, but I've got to see him do something in a major. I decided to stay away.
Matt, we've got 30 seconds left. Any thoughts on Game 3 tonight?
Yeah, I thought the Pacers really were sleepwalking through game two on Sunday night. They looked like a team that went and stole one in OKC in game one, and they were happy with the road trip. I think that tonight you're going to see a Pacers team play with a lot more energy, a lot more motivation, a lot more urgency. You're going to have the home crowd behind them. They have two advantages in this series, three-point shooting and the coaching. And I think Rick Carlisle's going to make some adjustments. I thought this number is too high. I played Pacers plus 5.5.
He is Matt Eumanns. Find him right here on the network on Primetime. Matt, appreciate it. And go make some birdies, buddy.
Bet. Thanks, guys.
Man, I want to be out on the golf course. Maybe I'll just head on out there when we get done here, Mike. I mean, like, you know, why not?
It's pretty open for you. Yeah, you can probably get 9 in at least.
Like we said, not only will this show be over on up in Omaha, but also Money Moves as well. So just tune in tomorrow, Friday, and then a special airing of Follow the Money on Saturday as well, right here live from Rocco's in Omaha, Nebraska.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. Take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
In pocket plays. Here, I'm just looking at, like, I just love all those sounders. Like, there's a break, like, as they're playing, it just takes you to the moment in time that you watch those movies for the
exactly.
first time. And it's like, I'm just sitting there like, all right, that's really, really good. Follow the Money here. Last segment, Matt and Mike in for Mitch and Paul. They'll be back in tomorrow. Mike, let's go to your stuff here. You got across all different sports here.
Yeah, this is going to, you know, it was the only time I'm going to give out ink pocket plays here on Follow the Money. So I need to do well today so that record on the bottom looks good for the rest of the year, because it's probably going to be it here for the ink pocket plays. We'll start out tonight. To give me the Oklahoma City Thunder. Laid the 5 yesterday. I'd still lay the 5.5 today. Lean toward the under, but do have Thunder minus 5 in pocket here. I think they're simply the better team. Went back and watched game 1 and game 2 again. And I don't see how Indiana is going to be able to attack them offensively against that OKC defense. So give me the Thunder minus 5. Fester, the starter for the Twins today, under 1.5 walks. The last two games he faced the Athletics and the White Sox. Why does that matter? Because they are second and fourth in walks gained against righties. The Texas Rangers today, the matchup, they are third worst in the Major League Baseball walks against righties. So Fester, under 1.5 walks, minus 125. Francisco Lindor has a very nice hitting matchup today. We'll go over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. That's minus 105 for Francisco Lindor. Astros team total over 2.5 in the first 5 here, plus 110. Like this one quite a bit. I think they're going to be able to get to Sean Burke, who's due for some regression here early in that game. So we'll take Astros team total first 5 over 2.5. It's going to take two separate Giants players to record RBIs. I've written about this, taking the road team 2 through 5 hitters on the road again, or when they're in Colorado. I'm going to keep playing this until the wheels fall off, because it's been a very profitable angle over the last, I think it's now 64 at-bats or 64 batters. So we'll go Encarnacion, who slotted into the 4 slot tonight, plus 120, and Flores, who's sitting right behind him there at plus 105, both of them to get 1+ RBI. And then let's head over to the golf course, Matt. Got a lot of golf bets for the first time in a long time here. Did a little model myself over the weekend, tried to put something together so I could try and stand up to your level of golf chatter here.
And, I like what it spit out so far.
Joaquin Neiman. He jumped out for me here, top 10, so I'll take him plus 260 to finish in the top 10. Joaquin Neiman, Group B winner. So over on DraftKings, you can find groups of 5 players. I love him in this specific group, because you got Morikawa, who I don't like. Kepka's in this group, who I don't like. Really, it's Fleetwood and him that I think are the two possible options. I'll take him there at plus 280. Ben Griffin, top debutant, plus 380. So top newcomer to the U.S. Open. He's been playing phenomenally on the PGA Tour. And I had, I think it was 48 of the 53 people who were on the list cut. So I'll take the one that I like the most there in the top 5 at plus 380. Round 1 3-ball score. I want to fade DJ. I want to fade Spleef. You can get John Rahm, who did very, very well in my model, minus 120 against the two of them in round 1 over on DraftKings. So I'll take Rahm, minus 120. Top 10 first round, Scheffler plus 150 for me. Top 20 first round, Rahm plus 120 for me. Top 20 for the tournament, give me Ben Griffin, plus 220 for me. Again, he's the top debutant as well. Then 3 more here and I'm done, man. I got a lot of bets, man. Head to head, give me Neiman against Morikawa. Again, plus 100 there on Neiman for the full tournament. I have a make the cut parlay. I like this one a lot. Rahm, Neiman, Straka, and English. Straka and English both performed very, very well in the model, but very unlikely to win. So wanted to try and find a way to monetize them. You put Rahm, Neiman, Straka, and English together. That's plus 270 for the 4 of them to make the cut. And then the Justin Cakes, Mike's really right. We'll go Rahm top 5, Neiman top 10, Griffin top 20. That pays almost 40-1 as a parlay. So 39-1 there, Rahm top 5, Neiman top 10, and Griffin top 20, Matt.
Look at you with like 3 pages worth of bets there.
I like I said, one time all year I will have the In Pocket Plays segment. I got to make it worth it here.
Yeah, we're playing over in Major League Baseball. We're going to play the team total over on the Mets. I am all over this one. We are both all over the Mets just in general in that game. So I thought that would be an interesting way to go about it. You're getting this at like plus 110 if you take the over 5.5 on this Mets team. Jake Irvin, a dude that is low strikeout, pitched a bunch of contact, and as we said, that this Mets team, second in Major League Baseball over the last 2 weeks in weighted on base. This Mets team is hitting the ball. Also, not on the sheet here, but did play the Giants on the run line against the Rockies. Minus 1.5, about minus 130. It's drifted up now. It's like up to like minus 137, but depending on how much you like the game and what kind of action you want. Do you want some action late in the evening? Well, there you go. You can get that there on the Giants in that one. On the golf side of things, I played 4 outrights. I played John Rahm. Like I said, it's more of a price play than anything else. I think that Rahm is on par with DeChambeau and Scotty when he brings his A game. And I can't really say that about very many golfers out there in the world right now. and I'm getting 1275 on him, where it's 275 on Scotty, and it's shorter. You know, it's $5 shorter on Bryson DeChambeau. So give me the dude with the biggest price that I think is even with them when he is on his A game, and that's kind of what we have to bet with this tournament in particular. Nobody can bring their B game this week and win this tournament, Mike. So I'm going with, we have to just assume if you're peaking, what are we getting? And then that's where we're going with that with John Rahm. Shane Lowry, a guy Matt Youmans also on. I'm on Lowry as well. He hits a bunch of fairways. His approach game is good, and he's really good around the greens. Can he keep his head level? That's the only question here in this one. He gets very upset out on the golf course. And as you mentioned, Mike, like there's going to be frustrating moments in this one for sure. Sometimes you're, at least a couple of times, you're going to hit good shots that don't get rewarded. And so can you just go in and keep your head and move on? Shane Lowry, Russell Henley, we've talked a bunch about him. You like him. Youmans likes him. A lot of people like Henley this week, a guy that just kind of does everything well. Not elite in anything, but just does everything well. I like well-rounded golfers this week. Give me that. And Keegan's just on a heater. Keegan at a massive number, it just doesn't add up. Keegan was as high as eighth in one of my models that I ran. I mean, like, this guy was, like, as high as eighth overall. Yeah, so, I mean, this is, like, love what he brought to the table.
90-1 is a good price, then.
Yeah, really, really good price on him out there at 90-1. I'm with you on Sepp Straka. Just I'm playing him in a top 20 market. I really like Sepp this week. Corey Connors playing some really, really consistent good golf. I don't think he can win this thing, but a top 20 price on Corey Connors, definitely worth it. And then additional exposure to these guys, Connors over Hideki, Straka over Hovland, and then Rahm over Rory. We talked a little bit about Rory, and I just can't get there with Rory this week, guys. So those are our G-Bank best bets here, and we're going to introduce you to the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and Visa. And all you got to do is open up a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000. First Bet will then trigger the $500 trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature card, and then First Bet's going to give you a $100 deposit match, and we'll cap it off with a VSiN Pro subscription to give you that $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That is VSIN.com/GBANK. It is a one-time promotion limited to those customers opening a new account in response to this offer. It's not going to apply to requests converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. To put a bow on the Rory.
Question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
So I was staring at Corey Connors to be the top scoring Canadian.
Yeah.
At +150. What do you think of that market? Because that's one I almost put in based on the model, but I didn't get into the account.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody even close in my models to him. Any Canadian even close to him. So additional
Tyler
way Fendrich, to get
Nick Taylor and Mackenzie Hughes, the other listed.
I mean, like literally they're 50 slots lower in the model than he is, you know?
Might have to click that button when we get off here.
I think that's a pretty good one. To put a bow on the Rory thing as well, just look, he's been so inaccurate off the driver. He usually can bomb and gouge and it'd be okay. I don't think people are going to be able to bomb and gouge this course with the way this rough is. I don't think you're going to be able to get it out of this rough onto the greens. And so that's why I'm off of Rory this week, and that's why I'm fading him as well in a matchup. Mike, I can say this. We talked a little bit earlier about the people that are up there. If we were handicapping the Jell-O shot deal, if we were just doing by the show of anybody on the network, I would lay a hefty price on you and I think that we're getting that done.
Oh, we would win going away. We would rival LSU if we got the opportunity to.
Yeah, I mean, if we could be on the board against any other show tandem on here, I would lay a nice price on us. You know how you like buy your own
especially
team, and
if
like
we could bring them to the golf course.
Yeah, like you can like
if you
buy
gave
your
us
own
the opportunity
team
to bring
and Calcutta's,
a tray of Jell-O shots to the golf course.
Yeah, you know it's like you buy your own team and like golf Calcutta's and all that. Like I would buy our team. Like I would buy our own team there if we were doing that. Yes. I'm pretty positive.
We would be the heavy favorite. We'd be -2,000.
Spend enough time together to know that we're taking that down, like for sure. Guys, stick around. VSiN Primetime, Scott Seidenberg is going to be coming up next. Be sure and stick around and hear what Zach Cohen has to say about the NBA Finals game tonight. And after that, Dustin Sweetelson will be here for Cashing Out. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Appreciate Mitch and Paul letting us sit in for them while they are up there to Omaha. They will be back tomorrow, as is Money Moves Live from Omaha up there, and of course a special showing here on Saturday as well. Mike, it's been fun, buddy.
Yeah, nice little weekday afternoon. I'll see you on Saturday for Ready Set Bet, Matt.
Good luck on all your bets out there, guys.